Support for GLT comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, the place to go for things that grow. Proud sponsor of the Dean of Green on GLT. Open 7 days a week on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington or anytime at niepegans.com. NIEPAGENS.com. This is GLT.
Not all grasses in our yards require mowing. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, today on GLT's Grow, Murph fills us in on ornamental grasses and how to use them in our landscape. And there's some really beautiful ones out there.
They're really fantastic, and I think it's interesting that people appreciate them in so many ways. They use them as hedges or fences. They also might have a specimen mixed in with some of their open yard or private backyard plantings, and the specimens are usually on the bigger side. But when I was trying to kind of narrow down what my favorites are, because it's kind of easy to use them, and we'll talk about that, but I noticed wheat because we've got some farming going on, and Grow Corporate wants us to stay in touch with the agricultural community.
Absolutely.
And I thought, you know, what was it that brought grasses into the landscape? I'm hypothesizing here, but I think about the beauty of the prairie and of a wheat field, or even, you know, even just a field full of grass and native plants. These are all mixed together, and they kind of, you know, homogeneous. Just it looks like one thing, but I think what people are attracted to is it looks comforting. It's pastoral and soothing in appearance. You can envision yourself, blanket or not, just laying down in the grass.
And watching it in the wind, it moves like waves. Like it's almost like it's an ocean.
Oh, and no doubt that that was something else that individuals saw that said, I want to make this mine. You know, this is part of creation that I want in my personal domain. They offer that movement and the color and the textures.
And the sound.
And the sound. That's right. So there was a time in agriculture when it was horse and man and woman driven. And the wheat field would be prepared for harvest, and they would tie the wheat into little bundles.
I like that. That's always such a pretty sight.
It is neat. And it's an object in art, and it's an object in heraldry and coats of arms where people demonstrate their vitality and their dominion because they have wheat.
Does that say, I have bounty?
I have bounty.
Yes.
Right. I can sustain myself. And the little hourglass-shaped bundles are sheafs. Sheaf, S-H-E-A-F. And many are sheaves. But they would do that to prepare the field. So if it snowed or rained, they could still retrieve it. And as it was retrieved, they were stacked in other little piles, and those are stooks.
I was once stuck
cool?
on a guy.
Isn't that cool?
Yes,
I think
it
that's
is.
Neat stuff. And
So
those little bundles, those sheaves, were so attractive that they show up in art, and they show up on agricultural equipment, and like you said, it's a sign of bounty. There may be a stepping stone to where people, let's leave that grass, let's leave it all winter. Matter of fact, for some character and some charm in our landscape.
And so they sort of corset it.
Yeah. And sometimes they would use its own fibers to tie it. And then over time, it was jute that was used because that was a fiber, you know, something that was readily available. And probably hemp fiber was used as well because they went hand in hand in agriculture a lot
you
of
bet.
Times.
They
yeah,
did.
Yeah. So here in the Midwest, there are so many to choose from, but some noteworthy ones are like hardy dune grass, the big, tall, humongous dune grasses with these glorious feather heads.
How tall they get?
They can get 10 feet tall.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And you mentioned the sound. The northern sea oats are a really great grassy plant for our landscape. Most grasses, in particular this one, they look best in colonies and large groupings. But they have a really ornamental seed head. They have fall color, kind of a rosy fall color. But talk about a neat noise when these blades kind of rub together in the wind. It is something that most people will appreciate.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, Murph is talking to us about ornamental grasses. Murph, are most of these, are they annuals or perennials, ornamentals?
The best ones, I think, are perennials. But there's some noteworthy annuals out there. So let me set everybody up on what's involved here. So you can choose with your own preference and taste some varieties, but when you're dealing with the perennial grasses in your yard, you're going to be cutting those back in the spring, leaving the above ground parts for winter character. And you may decide to bundle them in that sheafing method to keep them standing up. You know, so I think that looks better than the little wire harness thing that they stand them up with.
No.
So they're good to use for concealment. So if you have something waist high or lower that you want to hide, this is a great...
Like my rear end.
Well, or or the transformer in the back corner of your yard.
Good
if you
point.
Have underground service or gas meter or something like that. There will be people that would question concealing one's rear end. Sometimes it's best to show it. But they can also give us a nice noise and line of sight buffer.
Mm-hmm.
Grasses along a roadway do a great deal in mitigating road noise, okay? They are great for many of the pollinators that visit our landscape and our gardens. Right. And then they can be used to create a sense of space and distance. So you have grasses in between a large plant in the foreground and a smaller plant in the background. It's a Japanese gardening principle that creates the illusion of space, like a diorama or a model train set.
Cool.
Big trees in front, little trees in back. Wow, it looks like it's far away.
But interesting.
I know. It's really a great setup for that.
Oh, that is so cool. And hardy. I mean, around here particularly, in Zone 5, we got to have hardy.
Yes, and here's a few varieties that we can choose from. So I mentioned the dune grass, fountain grass, feather reed grass, and switch grasses. These are all like larger grasses that'll kind of be the backbone or to conceal that utility feature or something like that.
Feature, in quotation marks.
A wellhead. Yeah. Now, Indian drop seed is a grass that has a very interesting seed tassel on it and has some character because of its name, I think. I'm just partial to it. It's a lot like the others that I mentioned, but I think that the seed head is unusual. We have blue fescue and blue oak grass. For people that like that kind of aquamarine color, like that color, and I'm attracted to those.
Do you like to have, to have that blue color? I would love to see just a big ocean of that blue color.
I prefer that, too, in my taste and my, landscape design side of me. I want to see them in masses. I want to see it like I see it in nature, and that color is more pronounced, less pronounced when it's confettied in there with mixtures.
Yeah.
We mentioned northern sea oats. Japanese forest grass is one to consider because it's like a lion's mane or a horse's mane, and it can kind of fold over on itself and lay down. It looks kind of like a bamboo grass mixture. And then there's another one that is not a reliable perennial, but it can be in the right places, and its common name is fiber optic grass. And it looks very space age.
It is so cool.
It's very neat.
It looks like it's like it belongs in Doctor Who or something like that.
Yeah, and I've seen it on the rim of small water features before. I've seen it used amongst stone outcroppings and stuff like that to create an illusion, to create a sense of a picture. Grasses are great for that, and they can still give us a real presentation in the winter months, too.
One really quick question. Is it okay to put them in pots? Is there a good one for pots?
Most of the annuals are good for the pots. You can put anything in a pot, and it may perform as an annual because it may not survive the winter long term in that pot.
Okay.
So use it as an annual, even though it's a perennial.
All right. Thanks so much, Murph. Next week, Murph has some advice on, speaking of pots, recycling those potted ornamentals. And we are always, always happy to take your gardening questions here at Grow Corporate. You know, if you've got any problem or question you'd like Murph to tackle, just go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, and send it along to us. And maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. And we do love photographs as well. If you've got a photograph of something that you've got a question about, send that along as well. And submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.